Hello, everyone. Welcome to our The Week That Wasn't Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I'm the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello, also from my side. So today we would like to discuss about the euro area bond market sell-off that took place over the past weeks and that has accelerated in the very last week. So the Italian 10-year government bond yield now stands at a whopping 5 percentage points, and the German 10-year rate has also shot up and is now close to a level of 3 percentage points. So we want to discuss what could be behind the sell-off in bond markets recently. Is it monetary policy? Is it fiscal policy? Or is it something else?
Yeah, last week brought an interesting mix of macro data underlying the prevailing complicated macro picture, and in particular underlying the challenges that central banks face in navigating these difficult waters. So one important data release concerned euro area inflation numbers for September. They actually surprised to the downside, with headline inflation coming in at 4.3%, while Bloomberg consensus expectations were equal to 4.5%. The inflation rate of 4.3 not only undershot expectations, but also dramatically is lower than the inflation rate for August, which was 5.2%. So almost a percentage point higher in August than it's now. So in summary, despite good news on the inflation front, bond market yields went up, which is a rather unusual development.
Yes, and this wasn't the only important data release we have received. Other important news came from the fiscal side. So the French and Italian governments both published new and considerably higher deficit forecasts for this and next year. And there was also news that actual deficits have already shot up until the end of August. For instance, in France, the deficit increased to 188 billion euros in the period January to August 2023, up from just 150 billion euros for the same period in 2022. This is an increase of about 38 billion for the comparable periods, 2023 over 2022, and amounts to a whopping 1.6% of GDP just for the first 8 months of 23. And relatedly, developments in the US also foreshadowed a less certain fiscal situation, as the ousting of the Speaker of Congress increases the risk of a US government shutdown in November, so not far in the future.
The financial markets reacted quite extreme to all this new information, with bond markets selling off sharply, implying interest rates rose sharply. The German 10-year yield, for example, rose by more than 20 basis points during the Thursday session last week, and the Italian equivalent was also up by more than 20 basis points. Rates came down after the initial increase, but started to rise again sharply during this week, with the German 10-year rate rising briefly above 3%, which is the highest level since 2011.
So that's what has happened, but let's start now with the rather basic questions. What actually drives long-term interest rates? And the honest answer is, of course, that there are many factors that can influence the movements of interest rates at any given day or any given period. That said, when focusing on macroeconomic factors, it is advisable to make a distinction between monetary policy and all the rest. Monetary policy has a direct impact on long-term interest rates via the short-term policy rate and expectations about the future course of short-term policy rates. It is important to note in this context that there exists a relationship between short and long-term interest rates via a general arbitrage condition. This is so because any investor could, in principle, either buy a bond with, say, a 10-year maturity, or alternatively, a series of 3 months or short-term bonds where the money is reinvested every 3 or so months into yet another 3 month bond. And for this reason, the current level of short-term rates, which is more or less directly influenced by the central bank, and expectations about the future course of short-term rates will influence long-term rates. and therefore any change in the assessment of the path of future policy rates will immediately translate into changes for long-term interest rates.
So one possibility why bond yields shot up is therefore that the market expects a trajectory for future short-term policy rates going forward, or a change in that. Yet it's hard to square with the fact that the September inflation numbers, as we just said, came in lower than expected, which, if anything, reinforces the notion that the ECB is now on hold and does not require to hike rates further. In fact, there's been no significant repricing of the future path of policy rates. Despite the inflation and deficit news, markets still continue to expect the first rate decrease in June of 2024, and up until then, expect the ECB to more or less be on hold.
Yeah, so at least for the near future, there is no expectation that the path of short-term rates has dramatically changed and therefore could justify the move in long-term rates. But it should not be surprising that it is not the only driver. Short-term rates and the future path of short-term rates is not the only driver of long-term government bond yields. In fact, there is usually a very or relatively large and also time-varying gap between the expected path of short-term rates and the actually observed long-term rate. This residual or this gap is generally referred to as the term premium. It reflects the premium investors' demand for investing into the 10-year long-term bond instead of investing into a series of short-term, say, 3-month bonds. After all, a lot of things can happen during the lifetime of a 10-year bond. Inflation, for example, may develop much stronger than initially expected, implying a decline in the real return for holders of long-term bonds. And to compensate for these uncertainties, investors in longer-term bonds demand a premium, that is, a higher interest rate than what is implied by the expected path of short-term interest rates.
A standard model that can be used to tease out this term premium from observable rate movements is the so-called Adrian-Crump-Munch model. These are the three authors of the model. At a time where they developed that model, they were all three working at the New York Fed. Based on this model, the euro-area term premium on 10-year bonds has increased by around 40 basis points during September and by another 10 basis points during the first week of October. So the term premium thus can account for nearly all of the observed increase in long-term rates that we've seen over the past weeks. Understanding what exactly drives the term premium, though, is difficult, but it's likely that the fiscal outlook is one factor driving the term premium. In particular, news that government deficits are higher than anticipated should, all else equal, increase the term premium.
Yeah, and as we already mentioned, last week brought indeed some news on the fiscal side. The French government presented its new deficit forecast, and for 2023, it expects a deficit of almost 5% of GDP, and for 2024, still a deficit of 4.4% of GDP. And the deficit is expected to be back below the 3% threshold, according to these updated projections, only by 2027. Similarly, the Italian government presented new deficit projections. The government now forecasts a deficit to reach 5.3% in the current year, compared to initial forecast of just 4.5%. And for 2024, the forecast was raised from 3.7% to 4.3%. The Italian deficit is now expected to be below the 3% threshold in 2026.
While these numbers can explain why long-term rates in France and Italy went up, it is unclear why German rates responded similarly, more or less. How come that German interest rates increase on the back of weaker fiscal data out of France and Italy? One potential reason is that higher deficits in Italy and France will divert some demand away from German government bonds as interest rates in France and Italy become more attractive. German interest rates, all else equal, then also have to increase at least somewhat to compensate for that.
Yes, an alternative interpretation is that the fiscal deterioration in France and Italy may be viewed as increasing the implicit fiscal risk for the German budget, but that could take the form of a fiscal transfer that might become necessary to avoid an extreme scenario. While this is certainly a possibility, it could be true that developments in European bond markets may reflect something else, namely what happens in global bond markets, in particular what happens in the US. It is thus a possibility that German, French, and Italian yields simply reacted to developments in the US.
There's a possibility because US long-term rates also rose significantly from the middle of last week. The 10-year US Treasury yield is now around 30 basis points higher than it was before. But how big of an influence does the increase in US long-term yields have on European yields? This can be answered with the help of models that allow for so-called shock decomposition. And the idea here is to identify the underlying shock by looking at the direction of financial market movements across different financial markets in different countries. For example, if one were to observe that stock markets in the US and Europe both decline, while long-term interest rates increase in the US and the euro area, and at the same time, the euro depreciates against the US dollar, then one could attribute those yield movements to hawkish policy shift coming from the Fed. Conversely, a hawkish shift from the ECB should have led to an appreciation of the euro against the US dollar, but similar movements in stock and bonds. So in short, one would like to use the direction of the sign of price movements on a daily basis to attribute yield movements to different origins. A certain combination of financial market moves can only be explained if the underlying shock is what then you could tell from these movements.
Yeah, using such a model and looking at what the contribution of US shocks have been to movements in euro area long-term yields, we can see that almost half of the movement of long-term government bond yields over the past 12 months can be traced back to US monetary policy becoming more hawkish. Yet over the most recent period, the increase in yields in the euro area appears more driven by euro area domestic factors, that is, euro area monetary policy and euro area macro factors. Just to be sure, these models should of course not be taken at face value, not least because there are arguably more shocks than one could realistically replicate with these kind of models. Shocks may also happen in conjunction, which is a problem for daily based identification approaches. Nevertheless, they clearly support the case that what we are seeing in European bond markets is at least partially a spillover from the United States.
And a final driver of long-term nominal bond yields are the market views about the so-called neutral rate. The neutral rate is the long-term nominal rate that is consistent with a given inflation target of a central bank, that is 2% in the case of the ECB. It is thus an indicator of the real interest rate that the market expects to prevail on average over long periods of time. The neutral rate, however, is a theoretical concept and cannot be directly observed. Rather, it needs to be inferred from the observable movements of policy rates, inflation, and growth. In addition, the neutral rate is not fixed over time, but affected by structural features of the economy that drive the long-term balance between saving supply and investment demand. For example, a permanent increase in capital productivity would lead to more investment spending. It's more profitable to invest, given that capital has become more productive. And that additional investment spending can only be financed via higher savings, and higher interest rates are therefore needed in equilibrium to generate those higher savings. And a similar argument applies for the amount of safe assets, say risk-free government bonds, that are issued. A permanently higher government deficit, so more safe assets, can push the neutral rate upwards.
In fact, a recent paper from a Federal Reserve staff titled Supply of Sovereign Safe Assets and Global Interest Rates tries to model how the neutral rate in several advanced economies has evolved over time. And this paper finds that the supply of safe assets, in particular the supply of US treasuries, has been one factor pushing the neutral rate up since 2008, while other factors have been offsetting this upward shift. What is important here for our discussion is that these findings imply that the changed outlook for the fiscal situation in the US can lead to a revision of the neutral rate. That is, a weaker fiscal outlook can push up not only the term premium, but also the neutral rate. And the higher neutral rate would, all else equal, also justify higher long-term bond yields, as central banks will stop cutting interest rates earlier than they otherwise would.
The neutral rate, as we stressed, cannot be estimated in real time. It would in any case seem unlikely that market participants have suddenly changed their assessment of the neutral rate either in the US or the euro area. This said, it seems plausible that some of the upward move in interest rates seen over the last month, though not necessarily the very recent sell-off, reflects market expectations of a higher neutral rate. Quantitative tightening, so central banks shrinking their holdings of bond purchases in the past, and continuing high deficits are likely to keep the supply of safe assets high.
And it is important to highlight the predominant role that the US plays for global bond markets. The most recent deficit projections from the Congressional Budget Office sees the US deficit to be around 7% of GDP over the coming years. That is much higher than the deficits we're seeing in France and Italy. This contrasts to a long-term average deficit of around 3% for the period 1997 up to 2019, just prior to the pandemic. And this means that a lot of US treasuries will need to find a buyer in the coming years, and this can generate spillovers into bond markets globally.
Yeah, to sum up, it seems unlikely that changed perception of what the ECB will do going forward is behind the recent sell-off we've seen here, increase in yields. It's rather, it seems, a fiscal story, potentially a fiscal story predominantly in the US, but also the European side here doesn't look necessarily healthy, though, as Klaus just said, the US side over the medium and long term looks more challenging. And that means that that story will stay with us because it's hard to see how a dramatic change on that front could happen. And moreover, should quantitative tightening gain momentum also in the euro area, we could see these effects to play out even more forceful. That was all for today. We hope you enjoyed it and then talk to you next week.